It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
It goes Capra, Terang, and then back to the top of the order in Churio here in the third. 2-2 is a high fly ball, deep left field. Dominguez back at the track. Get up, get out of here. Gone for Vinny Capra. Capra just hit one out of here at Yankee Stadium on opening day and cuts into that Yankees lead. It's 2-1 New York.
There you go. The first home run call of the day, of the year, of the season. Lane Grindle of the Milwaukee Brewers, home run call. Vinny Capra going deep for the aforementioned Brewers in homage to Bob Uecker. A great home run call, a great way to start the day, a great way to start the season. What an opening day, and I get it, the Dodgers and Cubs have already played, but what an opening day for all of baseball. Let me tell you, I'll tell you how my day started. My day started at about 5 in the morning, texting Tyler O'Neill and saying, you're going to hit a home run today. Congratulations. Why? Because I did it last year. I didn't text him. I told him it's going to hit a home run. He hit a home run. He set a record for most consecutive opening day home runs last year. And so what's he do? Yep. He hits a home run. Make that 6 straight opening day home runs. Let it be said. Let it be done. As Mike Hazen said, the Nostradamus of podcasters. It just keeps on coming. That was a great way to start the opening day. But the opening day was, there was so much awesomeness going on all across baseball. I mean, storylines, stories, whatever. It was just a good day to have the t-shirt gun be fired out for the 2025 season. Marlins beat Paul Skeens, but Paul Skeens, of course, becomes the youngest pitcher to start an opening day game since Jose Fernandez in 2014, and Paul Skeens was, spoiler alert, really, really good. He'll be okay. But, like I said, the Marlins won. Congratulations to the Marlins. Josh Hader ruins Juan Soto and the Mets. Not debut. Well, I guess debut. Juan Soto's debut. Strikes out Soto with a game on the line. Congratulations to Josh Hader. Nolan Arenado, the guy that St. Louis desperately was trying to trade all over the place. Well, he hits a home run for St. Louis. and he gets a curtain call for St. Louis. There you go. I don't know if it's going to keep up for Nolan Arenado, but it's a pretty good way to punctuate the conversation that has been going on for months upon months upon months that he's not going to be in a St. Louis Cardinals uniform. And then, boom, opening day comes around. He hits a home run, gets a curtain call. Mackenzie Gore strikes out 13 in six innings for the Washington Nationals, and the Washington Nationals still lose to the Phillies. William Abreu, he reached base every time up, drove in four-plus runs, scored or drove in all of his team's runs, hit a game-tying homer, hit a go-ahead homer in the ninth and a year later. Why do I rattle off all those stats? Because no other player at MLB has done all of that in a single game since the RBI became an official stat in 1920. That's Optus Stats. You can go check out their account. They said that no other player has done that in a single game since the RBI became official stat in 1920. That's pretty good. And to cap it all off, Cordy Finnegan, friend, family member of Baseballs and Boring, you're welcome. Congratulations. You went to opening day at Guaranteed Rate Field, and your White Sox won. The White Sox won. The White Sox won. All right, like you said, it's a great day. And so today's podcast is simply, it's not, doesn't really have much to do with opening day. It has to do with just sitting down and having a great conversation about baseball, about everything, a lot of things. Because when we sit down with Lucas Giolito, we just talk. And next thing you know, 50 minutes have gone by and we just have talked because we like talking. When I sit down with Lucas, he has to stay behind a little bit because of his hamstring, but he'll be back on the active roster in a couple of weeks. But he had to watch his team say goodbye. He actually literally says it, watches his team say goodbye as we do this podcast. But we just sit down and talk. We kick it off with a lot of conversation about his mom acting, which who doesn't like the behind the scenes of movies, right? But it's just, as he said, every time we sit down with Lucas, it just flies by because we're just talking. All right. Well, I hope everybody is enjoying their baseball season. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. Thank you, producer Evan, for doing such an awesome job already this season. He's pitching a perfect game. Remember, at BB isn't boring. All right. Here's Lucas Giolito. All right, I was going to say there's nobody I'd rather be talking to than Lucas Giolito right now. I'll say it anyway. There's nobody I'd rather be talking to than Lucas Giolito. Why break a good streak?
Yeah.
But then you asked me, like, is everything okay right before we went on, and I couldn't figure out what you're talking about. I'm basically pitching a perfect game in spring training. This is the last interview that I'm doing in Florida, maybe ever, who knows, but certainly in spring training. And the last one is, I felt like I had developed a reputation of, like, screwing stuff up. And you said, you sure?
Basically, yeah, you said, I want to make sure that, like, all the levels were good, that these would be on, that we were recording, because I didn't want to get, like, 20 minutes in. And
but when did I ever do that? I don't understand.
It was just the sunglasses, yes, fiasco has me a little on edge about it. So I just want to make sure we're all good.
So in case people missed it, you talked about this the last time where you said, what the fuck happened? Which was literally like the first week I was here. So that would have been 7 weeks ago where I had a hard time putting on my sunglasses. And the TV caught it. So evidently I'll never live down. That's fine.
Yeah.
But when it comes to podcasts, I'm a pro.
All right, cool.
Right?
So we're good.
Yeah, we're good. I mean, until people see your lips moving and no sound coming out. So yeah. It's all good. We'll have a great screenshot of you sitting there. All right, before we get to good stuff, tell me what's going on with you.
Are we fighting the audio of the guys leaving to go to Texas?
Yeah, so I'm going to turn this. So this is literally, how many guys are there's 17 guys in there. You know how I know? We're watching the van. The van is going, taking off for Texas. Everyone wave. They're all giving me the finger right now.
Oh, for sure. They're giving both of us the finger.
Yeah. So,
So there you go.
Garrett Whitlock waved.
Well, of course he did. Yeah. How many fingers were given?
It's the windows.
The windows were tinted. So the bus is just, in case you can tell from the audio, the bus has just left. You're still here. That was about 17 guys who stayed behind, who didn't go to Mexico. Understandably, I didn't go to Mexico. You didn't go to Mexico. Mm-hmm. If you were going to go to Mexico, you had stuff to taken care of here.
Yeah, I had my first rehab game, two innings. Now we got some more audio.
It doesn't faze me.
Okay, so I had my first rehab outing a couple days ago, two innings on that field right over there.
Yeah.
And then I will have another one, three innings on Friday on that field over there, and then I'm out of here.
Then you're out.
Yeah.
You go to Jacksonville.
Yeah, that'll begin my rehab assignment.
Well, Jacksonville is where AAA, in case people don't know that.
It's where Wooster will be playing.
It's also known as Worcester.
Worcester. Shit. I don't want to mess that one up.
I'm here to
Worcester.
Help. That's what we're here to educate, inform, offer insight, and entertain.
How's it spelled? Worcester?
Wait a second. Spelled again?
No, that's like...
No, spell again.
W-O-R...
Yep.
Yeah. C?
Yep. Come on.
E?
Yep.
S?
Yep.
T?
Yep.
E-R?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did it.
Okay.
What a catapult to the season you're going to have.
Worcester. Okay.
All right. Yeah. So there you go. I had just, as I was sitting here, soaking in the great last few moments of spring training, was taught how to say baseball isn't boring in Japanese.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't ask me to do it. I'll have a video of it. So, yeah. So you are not going to Mexico, or the bus just left. In case. You sure?
They're not going to Mexico.
Okay.
They're going to Texas.
All right. Last chance.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not going to Mexico. You stayed here. Everything's going well. You're going to start your rehab assignment. When is that in Jacksonville so I can get my plane ticket?
I don't know the off the top
well,
of my head.
Well, I can do the math. So tomorrow.
They have off days on Mondays, the minor leagues.
Oh, so maybe Tuesday or something.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. I want to come back to your question about Mexico. So I told everyone, you're going to see a mountain. Don't run to the mountain because you won't run back.
Okay.
That's the only advice that I had for everyone leaving Mexico. How
mountain.
Many? Yeah, there's a mountain. Like there's a stay at the hotel. Don't go to the mountain. You ever see the movie with Russell Crowe?
The movie with Russell Crowe?
Yeah, about like how he basically saves Meg Ryan's husband.
My mom replaced Meg Ryan on As the World Turns when she left the show.
Well, wait, okay. All right, hold on a second. Tell me how that works. Were you even born yet?
I wasn't born, no. Like in the 80s.
No. So... Meg Ryan was going to be on As the World Turns.
She was on As the World Turns.
She was?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then she left, and in, the long-running soap operas, I'm sure they kill off characters, but they didn't want to kill off that character, so it was recast.
But she what? She went to do, like, Top Gun or something?
I don't know.
A movie?
I mean, probably beginning her, like, movie star career.
What's your best mom actor story?
I don't have that many.
No.
I thought it was cool when she was on Lost.
She was?
Yeah. She was in an episode of Lost.
Which one?
My girlfriend's like a huge fan of it. She's like, yeah, yeah. Because my girlfriend watched Lost like back in the day. And then, I don't know, just like in passing one day, I mentioned... that my mom was on it, and she was like, no fucking way. Da, da, da. And so we watched the episode together, and she was like, oh my God.
Do you know which episode it is?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Do you know what character she played?
She was a flashback character.
Oh, okay.
She played Shannon's mom, I think.
Okay.
Shannon, I think, is the character.
I can look that up.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's good street cred. Look at you.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. She flew to Hawaii to film that,
yeah.
I want to say. I remember when she had to dye her hair brown for I think it was a TV movie where it was about a girl that got abducted. It was based on a true story. It was about a girl that got abducted by like these weird religious cult people.
Yeah.
And she played the mom of the girl that got abducted. The something smart, something smart.
Get smart?
No, not get smart. Like that's the name of the person that got abducted.
Amy Smart's an actress. No, I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
is it uncouth to like go on my phone and look it up real quick?
That's what editing's for.
Yeah, you edit it and then. Bad camera angle? Do you want me to like lean forward?
No, the sun.
Oh, the sun. Elizabeth. Okay,
Elizabeth Smart.
Elizabeth Smart. Yeah.
Yes, she played who?
She played the mother of Elizabeth Smart.
Oh,
yeah.
I know that movie.
Yeah, all so. Right. It was like a TV movie. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, really crazy what happened to that family, but all is well now, I think. What else? Okay, so I'd say the coolest one for me is she did a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Let me power rank. Let me power rank the things that would come to the top of mind when I ask that, if I'm asked that question. Number one, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't even know. You haven't even told me what role it is.
Okay.
Number two, Lost. With all due respect to the Elizabeth Smart story. Number three, still pretty good. Number three. All right. Now, what is the Arnold movie?
It's called Collateral Damage.
Oh, of course. You don't have to say it's called Collateral Damage.
I never saw it. It's an iconic movie. I never saw it. It's iconic?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I never saw it.
What was the role?
She played his wife and she gets blown up in the first act.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, she played Arnold's wife?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, they kissed.
They did?
Yeah, I think she had a kissing scene. Yeah.
How old are you?
I was like 9, 10.
Have you watched it?
No, I never saw the movie.
There's certain things in life that you have to do. Number one,
my favorite movie she was in is this movie called Dead Heat.
Oh, yeah.
From back in the like early 90s, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like a zombie, really campy, super cheesy. And yeah, she plays like the romantic interest of it's like two cops and they're, you know, one dude's like this bumbling dude and super like sexist and whatnot. And then the other guy's like the smart guy, I think.
I want to go back to, if you do nothing else in life, if you, like, I know you're grooming your dog yesterday. I don't know what you're doing today.
Whatever. I wasn't grooming the dog. I had to pick up the dog from the groomer.
You're prioritizing dog grooming.
And packing my car. Because I'll be out of here soon.
Right.
Yeah.
You driving to Jacksonville or no?
Probably driving. I don't think they have direct flights from here.
Okay.
I won't be driving. Okay. The cars are getting shipped.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you have to prioritize fighting that scene where your mother kisses Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I have a way worse one. Okay. Like, you in that realm.
All right.
Okay, so I'll take it back. I was...
This is, by the way, this is what a good journalist does. He peels back the onion.
Cooperstown, like the Cooperstown like travel baseball tournament.
Yeah.
I'm there with my team. We're all like 11 and 12 years old. And when you go to play in Cooperstown, you live in like bunks. So the whole team is in one room with just a bunch of bunk beds. And there was a little TV in the corner. And we're like hanging out. It's nighttime after all of our games and whatnot. And we're flipping through the channels and boom, my mom's on TV. And I'm like, oh crap, my mom's on TV. It was, I think, another TV movie she did, or it might've been like Murder, She Wrote or something like that. And sure enough, within 3 minutes, it's like a sex scene.
Wait.
But it's like a TV sex scene. It's like tasteful.
Murder, She Wrote wasn't known for its sex scene.
It was something like that. Yeah. And so, of course, within 3 minutes of it being on, that happens. But it was like, you know, it was like network television sex scene. So it wasn't anything crazy, but still like a bunch of 11-year-olds. They're like, oh, Gio's mom.
So you had said proudly, there's my mom, and then you regretted immediately saying that.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still want you to get, see, look, same hat. Look at that.
Nice.
Yeah. See, I knew I had style. So you got to go find that kissing scene with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I will find it. I don't know. No, that's, I don't want to find it. No, you find it. Just for your own edification.
I don't even know if it's in the movie. Like, you know, movies, they cut a ton of scenes, so I don't know if that's in the movie. But
what do you say? Yeah, I know that we had talked about this before. You're with, she acted with Billie Eilish's mom.
Yeah. I don't know if it was in the soap. I don't know.
Okay.
What it is. She's actually here. She's not here, but she's like in town right now. I'll ask her later.
Okay. Tell her we're all big fans and say hi.
Yeah.
And this is maybe her brand has never been hotter after this podcast drops.
Yeah.
So.
But I'd say one more cool thing. She was in a play on Broadway that won the Pulitzer.
What?
Yeah. M. Butterfly.
So she has a Pulitzer.
No, the play won it.
Yeah, but still. Wow.
It's pretty cool.
I mean, I'd like to do a podcast with her. Can you go get her? Like, I actually want to ask her about the Broadway, like, being, to me, it's incredible.
Maybe, yeah.
It's incredible. Yes, it's called Relatively Speaking. It's a new episode. but I don't know how, so.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Has the Giolito family, this is a pro segue, ever gone to Mexico?
The Giolito family?
No, have you ever gone to Mexico?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But like resorts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like the true Mexico.
Not the true Mexico
experience, yeah.
All right. Because the MLB is going in Mexico. So give me your take. Again, this is another pro segue. The MLB went to Japan. MLB is now in Mexico. Give me your take on, and by the way, next year is the WBC. Are you playing in it?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I don't think so.
All right. Have you played in it?
No.
Okay. I think I asked you that before.
I can see myself doing it Well, Team USA, I mean, they're not asking me, so I can see myself doing it, like, maybe back end of my career. I could do Team Italy.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is your take on all of that, of the whole, like, because I know that when football tried the whole thing about we're going to have NFL Europe, it was, to me, it was square peg, round hole.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I actually went to... I did a trip to Europe many years ago to watch soccer, and my dad was actually working in Manchester at the time, so flew out to Great Britain, and it was like around the time they were doing one of those games in London, and there were so many fans like rocking, I don't know what teams they were, the Seahawks or Chargers or whatever, like going through customs and like getting on the plane, like all these people wearing like football jerseys and stuff like that. I was like, what is going on? And then I realized, I put two and two together, like, oh yeah.
But you had no desire to go.
No, I wanted to go to watch the other football.
Yeah. Well, exactly. So when you look at this stuff, because it's a lot, man. It's a lot to start a season in Japan.
I know it's a lot on the players.
A lot on the
players. I haven't been on one, but from everything I've heard.
I did it. Yeah. 2008. Like, I've never seen a team more impacted, and they try to build in exhibition games, whatever. And even, like, going to Mexico, it's not ideal. But I don't know. I mean, is it... Because I think that all these leagues... I don't know if it's from selling merchandise or if it's legit we're going to get a team in Mexico. I don't know.
I think a team in Mexico would be cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Expansion team. You know, they talk about expansion teams, and obviously we're doing... Well, I guess it's not expansion, just moving to Vegas. And then we're doing... they're talking about, like... Where in Tennessee or wherever,
you basically want to be the face of the cause to get people to go to Monterrey.
No, I'm not the face. I just think it's cool.
All right,
because we have, you know, the only team we have out of the United States is Canada.
Yeah.
So you know, go south of the border as well.
But that's what I mean. That's sort of what I'm getting at is that. It's in good, it's in theory. It's sort of like when Jacksonville keeps playing their football games in London. In good is theory. Yeah, whatever. In theory, it's good. But it's a lot. Like, you guys travel a lot. I don't know if you know that.
Mm-hmm.
We just saw a bus pull out.
Yep.
And those guys are probably like, here we go. Here we go. All the travel. Right?
Not that one.
No.
I'm sad I'm missing this one.
I know. Are you serious?
They're flying very luxuriously to Texas.
Oh, they're doing the private.
Oh,
PGA.
Yeah.
Thank you, Boston Red Sox.
Red Sox take care of their guys.
Yeah, you know what they're trying. Awesome. You know what they're doing.
What?
You know, there's only one. There's one person on that plane they're trying to impress. You know who it is? He's about 6'5" and bald.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about the travel and the other countries, but I do want to use that as we start the season. I appreciate you doing this as the bus pulls out, because I know this isn't easy. Like, this, you wanted to be on that bus.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to be there. But tell me what it's like to feel like this. You aren't going to be active for opening day, but you'll still... And no, you're an opening. You've been through opening days. Mm-hmm. You've been through the beginning of the season. I have never been a Major League Baseball player to start a season to get ready for 162.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like? Like when you? I remember you said the playoffs are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the beginning of a season like fucking awesome? Or
yeah, it's. I'd say the beginning of the season, at least in my experience, is always a little more of that like anxiety, antsy feeling than the playoffs. I mean, I've only been in two playoffs. I can't say shit about the playoffs. I want to be in a lot more. But the feeling before opening day, it's like, you know, you've been grinding in spring training, and it's like that feeling of,
yeah,
like, all right, let's get it started. You want to get started on a good foot, obviously. You know, you don't want to put too much pressure on yourself because it is a really long season, but you do have a lot of that. Whereas the playoffs is different because you've been at it for so long and you're used to the grind of the season. You have, you know, 170 plus innings under your belt, and it's like, all right, cool, going to do more of that. But now, like, it's just going to be heightened. Whereas opening day, it's, you've been away from it for so long that it's a little bit of a different feeling.
When does the grind of the season overcome that? Because it ultimately does. When someone doesn't put the slippers next to the bed in the 5-star hotel.
What? So, like, when do you not have that feeling anymore?
Yeah, like, when did, like, when?
After the first start.
Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah. Really?
You get that first one out of the way, and it's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Let's keep it moving.
It's, so, we, obviously, like you said, there's private jets, there's whatever, chartered flights. You don't have to go through security, all of that stuff. There's nice hotels, all of, but still, it is, people don't understand, like, baseball is unlike any other thing, man. It's a grind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a grind. So tell me about that. Tell me about when you get past opening day, how to manage a baseball. Is it like, and when you're, it does it absolutely, say you get off to a good April, does it absolutely feel different when you're like, okay, let's go? Because if you don't, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You got another 150 of these to go.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to get too negative. You don't want to get too high either. It's like you have to stay, you have to the best of your ability, you have to try and stay as present as possible. Like, that's so key. I think back to like 2019, I got off to a good start, and then May was like the best month stretch of my career. And I literally felt unstoppable. My confidence was at an all-time high. I was like, oh, I
love being a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, you love it, and it's amazing. It's like, oh, cool, I'm going to win the freaking Cy Young. And then I think it's like I had one start where I just got hit around bad. Hmm. And it's like it just crashes you down. Hmm. Like, you don't want to have the crash down. You want to be staying kind of stable. So no matter whether you start poorly or start really well or just start average, you just want to have, like, a very present mindset. That's why routine is so important
but
to baseball
hard.
Players.
It's hard, man. Like, right?
Yeah, but that's why, like, you develop the routine. And so you go in each day very present, very focused on, okay, what am I doing today? For me, I'm a starting pitcher. It's all day one, day two, day three, day four, pitch day, right? So what am I doing today? What am I doing this day? And then when it comes time to pitch, like, do I feel prepared to pitch? Yeah, I did all the stuff I had to do over the last 4 days. All right, cool, go out and pitch. Mm. And then you don't want to dwell, you don't want to ruminate on results. You got to look forward to the next one.
But it's all stuff that you learned. Like, a lot of these kids,
mm-hmm.
like, I see a kid, and he's the nicest kid, man. Christian Campbell made the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
The nicest kid, just wide-eyed and everything. And I worry about him somewhat. Like, I worry about, like, the highs and the lows and everything about it.
Yeah, but no player, like, shows up to the league and sets... There are players that show up to the league and set the world on fire, but it doesn't just happen forever.
Somebody has to keep telling them that. You know what I'm saying? Because maybe he won't, but I know players, I got to impress everyone right out of the gate. You know, mm-hmm. You've seen it.
So we moved because the phone was overheating.
You totally jinxed this podcast. I can confirm that this is things that we wish in about 2 weeks, we're going to be like, wasn't that awesome when it was so warm that the phone was overheating? I'm sorry.
I don't love the Florida humidity, though.
I'm sorry, not the phone. Our multi-camera shoot was being affected by the sun.
Yeah.
So you don't like the Florida heat? You've been here for a while.
I like California heat, where I grew up, like dry.
Yeah.
I have trouble regulating temperature down here. I sweat like crazy in humidity. Yeah, it's nuts.
Does it impact your performance?
I wouldn't say so. It hasn't up to this point.
You never had a. Is this your first Florida?
Last year was my.
Last year was your
no,
first.
No. Washington Nationals.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was forgetting things there.
I mean, I feel like I've educated so much, and then you just educated me, so thank you for that. But speaking of educating, what you were saying about the lessons, I think it's a really, really valuable thing. It really is. And, you know, I cited Christian Campbell. He is just, like, the nicest kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm not nice, like, just... He was just drafted in 2023.
Yeah.
A year ago, he was... Didn't even sniff a spring training game. And he gets here, and he's just trying his best. And, you know, he's the type of guy, when you go up to him, it's sort of like, hey, good job. And he's sort of, really?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. So... But there's all different personalities, and there's probably some guys in Major League Baseball who are coming in. It's like, I got it, man. I had great spring training. I know what Major Leagues is all about. And then, like, as a pitcher, too, you probably have perspective of when you smell blood in the water when you have a young player,
mm-hmm.
you get the scouting report.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, there we go.
Oh, for sure.
You know? So, like, tell me about that. Like, because I can talk about the guy struggling, but you're the guy who makes guys struggle.
Yeah.
In a good way, like not in a mean way.
Yeah, I think that there's like a maturity the longer you play in the big leagues. Like hitters develop their approach. You know, you should talk to Alex Bregman about that. Like he's one of the best.
Yeah.
You know, I pitched in a minor league game a few days ago, and it kind of brought me back because you're pitching to guys that are like young and hungry. Like they really want the fastball. They're on the fastball. And so I ended up throwing like a ton of changeups and sliders.
Because you were going to chase?
It's not even chase. It's just, it's trying to manipulate hitters based on being able to read their approach or read their lack of approach.
Mm.
And that's no fault against the hitters. Like everybody in pro baseball is very talented. But I think it's just the longer that you're around, and this is not, you know, I mentioned the big leagues, but it's not even just the big leagues. Like, you know, the longer you're around the game, the more you pick up on things and develop your personal approach as a hitter or as a pitcher. And then at the big league level, it's like that on steroids because, you know, you have guys that have been there for 10 years. You have guys that, you know, have really been around, understood the game. They do their homework. You have so much information available now in this day and age. You know,
well, I was going to say, let me ask you a percentage of picking apart a young player of knowing, seeing his stance, knowing he's a young player, knowing maybe he's over anxious. I'll use all your experience compared to the massive amount of information that you're getting because all these guys are measured through my. So, what percentage of it is making that guy struggle?
Like when a young player is struggling at the big league level?
Yeah, so say a guy comes up and he's like, you know, say he has a certain stance, a close stance, whatever it is. You say, oh, well, I know this is going to work against him. I know that he's over anxious. I know that I can set him up, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Compared to just going into that at bat without even knowing because you have the scouting report on, which wasn't the case years upon years ago.
Yeah, I think that sometimes you can detect the anxiety in a hitter.
Mm.
And that goes beyond the scouting report where it might take a couple pitches and you can see whether you can read their swing or not. And a lot of time the catchers are the ones doing this, not us.
Mm.
But you can see that they're pressing, they're tight. You know, I'd say a big one is like when you get away with a really bad mistake, like if they swing and miss it, like a really bad mistake, it's like, okay, cool. Like now I'm going to kind of relax and be like, okay, I just need to execute this and I'm pretty sure I'm going to strike them out. But I don't know. I feel like there's probably been plenty of times where, you know, a rookie, young player's gotten me pretty bad too. Like,
yeah, no, I know it goes both ways.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I'd say the scouting report does say a lot. It is smaller sample size with a guy that's like debuting, because now you're looking at minor league numbers which are a little bit different. I think it's just when the lights are on and there's that pressure, there can be a tendency, at least in my own experience, to like try harder from the pitching end, like, you know, gripping a little bit too tight, overthrowing, hitters like over swinging, not giving themselves enough time to like relax and like recognize the pitch out of the hand. And they're getting really antsy. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Who was the best hitter you ever faced? So when I ask this question, I'll give you a...
There's different types.
Yeah. Oh, I asked this question to Rich Hill, and he said Luis Arraez, right?
Yeah. So immediately, you asked the question, I'm thinking different categories. Okay. Power, contact. Contact, Luis Arraez. And then best power hitter I ever faced, Nelson Cruz, by far. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Even at like the tail end of his career. I mean, I had an outing where I gave up 3 home runs to him on 3 consecutive at bats.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
3 different pitches too.
Really?
Yeah. I think he hit a fastball out, change up, and either a curveball or slider.
He was good.
Yes. And then if I were to like combine, I think Otani's up there because he covers so much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He covers so much. He'll cover the high fastball. I think lefties have a much easier time with him than a guy like me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had at bats against Otani where like he hit a home run off of me on like a fastball above the zone. I've made him look bad on certain pitch on changeup, like way away changeup. But that's when he was younger. Again, younger, more antsy,
right?
More anxious. Yeah. I don't think he was ever anxious playing baseball. It's like he's born to do it. But that I remember throwing like his rookie year, throwing him like a changeup that was like up and like way outside, and he chased it, and I was like sick. whereas I think nowadays he spits on that pitch, and for a guy like me, he's keying in on that mistake fastball, that mistake changeup.
Yeah. I interviewed a guy last year, Lake Backer, who pitches for the Marlins, and he had been released by the Padres, I think, and picked up by the Marlins his first week, and he came in and struck out Otani with the game on the line. I'm like, you just mentioned like this, that's sick, like the, like, well, that's what we're gonna remember. Like, you should save that ball. You know, like Lake Backer, I remember an interview, like, do you realize what you just did? I know he's human, but I'm still saying.
Yeah. No, I think Otani strikes out a good amount.
But still, I don't care. But, save the ball. It's like,
but yeah,
I'm trying to build you up.
For me, it's like every time I've struck out Luis Arraez, which maybe twice.
Yeah,
I'm like, there's like a little fist pump internally.
Yeah,
it's not a situation that warrants it in the real world, but it's like internally, like, oh my god.
Oh yeah,
you know.
No, I don't begrudge it. And by the way, it might be a little bit more difficult this year, not because you're not going to be awesome, but because Luis Arraez now carries around a baseball's and boring sticker in his back pocket.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so
nice.
It's a lot of power. Last thing, give me a good spring training story. Do you drive a golf cart in a lake or anything?
No, I haven't been playing golf or anything like that.
You know, we're in Florida, so
I guess the all the creatures in the house I'm renting, like around the house I'm renting, we saw this the other night. My girlfriend was cooking and she freaked out. I was standing in the kitchen. She freaked out and ran away. And I'm like, what happened? Spider. And I look up, I can't see it. And then I'm like, oh, holy shit. Like, it was like one of those Australian looking
really?
Giant spiders.
Inside?
Like
inside?
Yeah. Inside, just hanging out. Yeah. That, the iguanas. I don't know what's going on with the iguanas.
They're
everywhere.
Your house?
Yeah, iguanas live in the trees in the backyard.
What kind of house did you get?
I don't know. Like down in, not. I don't like the I don't like living in those communities yeah. where every house is the same. Yeah. It yeah. like freaks me out.
Yeah.
So yeah, found a nice house and just like a regular neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a dock.
Okay. Those are good. So I'll take that for a spring training story.
Yeah. The animals. It's cool. My cat's like murdering lizards.
Oh, your cats are killing lizards?
Yeah, one cat. We have one cat, and he's just out there, like, he sees a lizard, and he's just, like, crushing it. He dropped a beheaded cockroach at my feet a couple weeks ago. Yeah, he's getting his killer instinct. He's, like, 6 months old now.
It's good. See? It's spring training for everybody.
Yeah.
And Dylan sees his beard. If you had to do one, give me one word. Dylan sees his beard.
Wild.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah.
Did it surprise you?
Yeah, I thought he was going to go. I thought he was going to be mustache like forever.
Yeah.
And yeah, he let it go.
If anything, like you know, twirl it up.
Yeah. He had the mean mustache and now he's just completely let this go. Yeah.
Were you there when he read the poem for the first time?
Yep.
Okay.
Did you have him read it on the podcast? He can recite it. He obviously has it memorized.
Number one, it's in the book that you have never read, but maybe publicized it better than any human being. It's in the book. Like he let us put it in the book. And then when we were on the podcast one time, I said, I would like you to write a poem about baseball isn't boring. And he, 10 minutes after we finished, he sent me one. His mind works a little bit different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then again, it could have been AI. Who knows?
Yeah, he's got the paintings, disc golf.
Disc golf. Yep. Yeah, the whole works.
Yeah, I would go disc golfing with him when we were teammates. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, that's one of the
things. I couldn't throw it righty.
But that's one of the things I said that has to happen. How do you not have... Wait, we didn't... We don't have time to do the golf, like indoor golf thing.
Yeah.
But how do you not have a disc golf tournament in a ballpark? Like a 3 or 4 hole disc golf.
Up on he should do that like a charity tournament, yes. Disc golf, just set up some chains.
Will you
around.
Help? If I do that, will you help make it happen too?
Yeah, I'd be down.
All right, let's go.
Cool.
All right, thank you.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.